Hello, and welcome to Stasis Pod, the Transformers Cyberverse podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And I'm David.
And today we are at the first season finale of Cyberverse.
This is it. Big stuff happening.
18 episodes is a weird number for a season.
It is. Especially when they're really like 9 when you make them full length episodes.
Again, yeah. This series was really weird about seasons. I don't know if anyone understood how seasons worked.
No.
Yeah, I can't think of anything that's like 9 episodes. It's usually like 8, 10, or 13.
Yeah.
I think there's been some Disney Plus stuff that's been 9 episodes, but it is not the normal number of episodes one associates with a series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this first aired in the U.S. December 29th, 2018. It is the 18th and final episode of Cyberverse Season 1, written by Gavin Hynight.
It still seems weird to me that these episodes aired in the traditional sense.
Yes. Mm. We hadn't quite gone full on streaming yet, whereas I guess, Earthspark does air on Nickelodeon.
Hmm. Yeah. I've caught it on Pluto TV a couple times too, but that's not the same.
Mm. Ooh. So previously on Cyberverse, our trio of Autobots have found the Ark beneath Mount St. Hilary after being buried for a ludicrous 65 million years.
Yeah, that's too long.
Why?
Entirely, as far as I can tell, to explain Grimlock's alt mode and backstory.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the only reason. It's like, why? There's always Savage Land or equivalent. Why?
Nope.
Well, for
scanning fossils.
Well, for more Savage Lands, stay tuned to next week's episode, everybody.
Yes.
So everybody's very excited to have found the Ark, but unfortunately, now Shockwave is there. He's got a bunch of Seekers led by Slipstream.
He's got an angry eyebrow.
Yep. Hmm. He's got a bunch of his weird little drone guys.
I love his little drones.
And he's got Bumblebee's Franken nemesis, Shadow Striker.
His own little science project. Oh, before the Decepticons show up, well, they're literally right behind them. It's not like they just show up. The camera just pans over to them. But first, the Autobots hug.
Yes.
Hugs are important.
They're so happy to see the Ark.
Windblade and Bumblebee and Grimlock have a big group hug.
And so a lot of this episode is kind of just a big fight.
Yeah,
fight.
Even Teletran X gets in on it and fights one of Shockwave's drones.
Well, the drone fights him.
Yes.
Also, there are definitely no humans anywhere near this mountain.
Nope. Just a giant robot fight going on at this volcano.
It's normal stuff.
Nobody's paying any attention.
Well, it's not like most volcanoes are tourist attractions.
This is true. You'd think they might have like some sort of monitoring station there to make sure it doesn't erupt, which is what it's about to do, thanks to Shockwave.
I mean, there's usually a park ranger cabin or something. Even in the Robots in Disguise episode where they go to Mount St. Hilary, there's like people nearby.
There's what's her name? Edie McClurg is there.
Yeah, there's a whole subplot.
But no, nothing. Robots in Disguise would at least give us like some weird guy who lives in the wood or a forest ranger or something.
Yes, there would at least be people camping or like, I don't know, literally anything else. But no humans here.
So yeah, fight. Bumblebee does get into the Ark with Teletran X. And of course, Teletran X is the only one who can turn this thing on. But unfortunately, once they get there, they find that Teletran 1 is totally busted.
Yep. Just totally broken.
So instead, they are going to have to... He's going to have to jack into this and sort of use his own power to reboot Teletran 1.
Teletran pulls an R2-D2 to turn it on. Turn the ship on.
Earlier, yes. When they're trying to get into the ship, which is urgent because they're being attacked by Decepticons, you would think he could just plug into the door panel, but apparently not. Apparently he had to do that manually. But now that we don't need to draw that out for the sake of tension, now suddenly he can just get into it. Okay, fine. Mm.
Well, because he's immediately shot afterwards.
Well, yes.
So it doesn't need tension.
Yeah, because Shadow Striker gets in and then just, like, blasts him and seemingly kills him.
Yeah. He seems to be pretty dead.
Yeah, she corners him and he's all like, well, this time it really is the end. Not even that he can, I don't know, turn into a car and just, like, run her over.
Also, like, Bumblebee seems genuinely scared of her when she shows up. So the rivalry between the two of them just feels really like she's just this terrifying person who he accidentally screwed up this one time, and she's just like this murderous monster out for revenge.
That sounds like a couple of the relationships I've had.
Again, it is weird having Bumblebee be your nemesis, but I guess when it's not like a normal rivalry so much as he's just a guy who you hate and are absolutely planning to murder, that's a little different.
I do kind of like that. Like how you'd have a one-sided romance, which is creepy as fuck, a one-sided hate-mance is just hilarious.
I mean, then you're sort of getting into, like, Monarch Rusty Venture territory.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good setup for what little comedy there is.
Yes. So anyway, Shockwave is now using the magnetic disruptor on his ship that is going to trigger a volcanic eruption, which will then, you know, melt the Ark and everybody in it.
You know, perfectly reasonable stuff.
Yeah. He loves to escalate. And meanwhile, he's talking to Starscream, who is approaching from orbit with an armada.
Yes.
To be resolved next season.
By which I mean he has an extra that means he has an extra Cyclonus, right?
Yes.
It's not an armada. One guy is not an armada. That's not how things work. Unless his name is Armada, which is my favorite fan theory.
I kind of like Armada as a name, since he's basically an animation error.
Mm-hmm.
That got repainted as Dirge later on. And still hasn't been made into a toy.
Well, unless you... Maybe that's who Fearac is.
There you go.
Fearac? I thought it was Farac.
I actually do not know.
I don't think anybody knows. It has only appeared on the written page. We would have to ask, like, Simon Furman, and he would just say, like... Decepticons or Quintessence.
Actually, I do think British. I vaguely recall somebody asked Buddy Ansky. Okay, so it is on his wiki page. He said Farac.
Oh, okay, there you go. Farac. Farac is a very Beast Wars name.
Yes.
Farac is. Anyway, Mount St. Vesuvius is erupting.
That's right. Everybody's going to just get encased in ash, like those freaky Pompeii bodies.
Mm. But we just saw last episode, Grimlock walked through lava and nothing happened.
Yeah, hopefully nobody is caught seemingly jerking it the way that one Pompeii body is.
I always assume it's like he was trying to put his crotch out, which was on fire.
Maybe.
Nope.
Or maybe it was like, hey, listen.
He was getting in one last jerk.
Don't they talk about that in Mallrats?
They talk about a lot of dicks in Mallrats.
It's either that or Clerks. One of the two. Ooh. Anyway. So, you know, lava happens. It very dramatically illuminates Windblade for a little bit. And, you know, it's sort of cool, her going after the Decepticons with this, like, tidal wave of lava behind her.
Hmm.
And then, of course, B is just sad because Teletran X is extremely dead, except suddenly the ship comes back to life, and the episode briefly turns into a Peter Gabriel video. And then the Ark comes to life, and it also deploys its cannons to use against the Decepticons. It's really made me think of The Agenda.
Yeah, I could definitely see that.
This is very much a budget
agenda.
I mean,
this whole little bit is a bit The Agenda, the last episode or two.
It's definitely like The Agenda you ordered from Wish. Or the great
agenda we have at home.
The Great Value Agenda.
Great Value Agenda.
Oh yeah, if Shockwave hadn't run outside to turn on his volcano weapon, he could have stormed into the Ark and taken it over, but no.
Yes. No, his plan
had to... He's got
those
little drone guys. They could have tried to turn it on. Oh wow, that'd be a better episode, but it'd be more episodes.
Yeah, but also volcano. I mean, if you can involve a volcano in your plan, you must involve that volcano.
Yes, but it could have been a backup plan. It's like, either I take it over, or I'm going to set off a volcano.
It's kind of like that one Simpsons Treehouse of Horror. Well, when am I going to be here again? Anyway, so he is having trouble getting these Autobots back up and running, but he is able to just blast them with these cannons. Hmm. And luckily, he can also turn on the shields. So while Grimlock and Windblade get into the Ark, he's able to encase it in a bubble of energy shield that just prevents it from being melted by lava.
Which seems... I mean, I know force fields are nonsense magic in sci-fi anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But usually the point of it is it stops energy weapons and slows down kinetic projectiles. Now, if you have an entire mountain of lava pushing down on it, I don't think that would work.
They're very good shields.
That's fine.
This feels like it would break Star Trek rules, and they're very bendable.
Well, this is true. Yeah, I don't think we've ever seen the Enterprise survive a barrage of lava.
Hmm. Or rocks. It's liquid rock.
I mean, they can stop rocks. You know, those are asteroids.
With the shields?
Yeah.
Wouldn't they use tractor beams?
No, well, not necessarily. I mean, you can't... I think they're both particle shields and energy shields.
Yeah.
I'm just smiling and nodding.
And don't ask how you can see through particle shields or energy shields, even though, obviously,
light is an energy.
And you shoot lasers at them, and they're stopping the lasers. But just don't think about it too hard.
Oh, yeah. The force field should be black if it's completely effective.
But the problem is that would look less cool on TV.
Yes. Also, you wouldn't be able to see out of the fucking thing. Wow.
Also, that. Yeah, it lets it in for the same reason that when the ship gets hit, the computers explode and stuff falls from the ceiling.
Well, yes. why do they pack dynamite in those boards? It's killed so many people in the crew. Anyway.
So Shockwave just decides to peace out, thinking that he's won. And not only that, but Teletran has also been able to wake up everybody in the stasis pod. So you got Optimus Prime, you got Prowl, you got Wheeljack, you got RC, you got some, like, generic guys.
Yeah, who the fuck... He looks kind of like Ironhide in black with red stripes.
Just a guy.
Didn't they release that guy as, like, guard number 5 or something in the siege line?
Oh, yeah, there is a guy sort of like that. But it's just...
Yeah.
So weird. It's like, my first thought was like, oh, black Ironhide, he's the movie version? Or it's like off-model Trailbreaker? It's very weird, because he's, like, in a shot, and then he's not there anymore.
Yes.
It's very odd.
We just need some crowd fillers. We do briefly see Rack and Ruin here.
Okay, I know we saw, like, somebody else, like, green in the background.
Yeah, I think that's who it is. And then Chromie is there, briefly.
Hmm.
So, you know, everybody's very happy to see everybody, and, but unfortunately, before they can get too happy about everything... the Decepticon fleet is here.
Oops, sorry.
And this is actually a cool shot of Shockwave sort of like in these dunes and these Decepticon ships flying overhead. It's a cool shot.
Yeah, occasionally this show has some really good visuals.
Yes.
Every now and then.
What does help, like, the more simplified character designs and everything's more angular, it just works well for good static shots.
Yes.
Also, more cool ship designs. Battleship is cool.
It is cool.
Sort of Nemesis-like, but not.
It's got some Nemesis. It's got some of that ship that Galvatron had in the movie. Also kind of reminds me of Energon Sharktacon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's very battleshipy.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, also the Ark is now poking out of the volcano.
As you do.
With its,
so you can see all five engines of the ass.
Rear again. Thrusters sticking out of the volcano, as it likes to do. It is known for.
One time I want it to be sideways, at least. Something different.
The Decepticons are coming. It's time to transform and roll out. And that is where the season ends.
Yay! Optimus Prime wakes up and he says the thing.
And so this is kind of a minor case of what they call on the internet the Surf Dracula Syndrome. The gist of the tweet is basically that, you know, back in, like, the 60s, if you had a show called Surf Dracula, you'd have Dracula surfing in every episode.
Yes.
But then, but these days, he's not getting that surfboard till like, the last 5 minutes of the last episode.
Yeah. Well, the title is Cyberverse, which makes no damn sense anyway.
Well, there is that.
But yeah, it's like, the whole setup, the first season is the setup to, hey, it's G1 again, kind of.
And then I think the second season, you know, you think you're getting this, like, giant clash between the Autobots and the Decepticons, and I think that doesn't really happen in the next season.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really just sort of smaller conflicts.
I think there's, like, a time jump.
Well, that's ballsy in a weird way.
And then also I think Cheetor is there, question mark?
He is part of the opening story arc. It's the Moon Cheetah. He's the Moon Cheetah. They see him on the moon, and no, it's a Moon Cheetah this time.
For rabbits,
it's not, in fact, a Moon Rabbit. It is a Moon Cheetah. Also, Hot Rod is there, so between Bumblebee and Hot Rod and Cheetor, it's just the Autobot Himbo Squad.
Yellow himbos.
Oh, Hot Rod's, I guess he has some yellow.
Yeah, some yellow.
They're
He's
dumb.
Like, they're about just, a quarter yellow.
They're dumb. They're so dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is definitely a little Surf Dracula syndrome.
Yeah.
You don't even get, like, the actual thing starting. But, I mean, they had an idea for the first season, and I guess they did kind of stick with it. Even though I guess they stopped going...
It is an escalation that sort of works.
They did stop going into Bumblebee's memories around the time they found Grimlock.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, no, even before that, because the Decepticons were actually starting to be a legitimate threat, and then they found Grimlock.
And then I assume that's abandoned going forward.
Yes. Yeah, there's nothing about any of that going forward. It's barely about Bumblebee going forward.
Oh, well,
despite at one point being called Bumblebee Adventures. Cyberverse, Bumblebee Adventures. Even though that's, like, not...
Well, if you want to call the first season that, that's okay. It's kind of what it
no,
is.
No, they don't call the first season that. They call a different season that.
They call the second season that? What? Oh.
It's trying. The series was trying its best.
Not very hard.
And so, yeah, that is the end of the first season of Cyberverse. It certainly was a show that happened.
Yes. It was a cyber that versed.
Yes. It is a show of all time, in that it exists in time.
It existed. We watched it. It had its moments. Already the memories of it are slipping through my fingers like grains of sand.
Yeah, I skipped it except for a couple episodes in, like, I don't even know which season, one of the future ones, and I apparently missed nothing.
Well, too bad, because you're going to see it all now.
Yeah, I know, and we're going to get to it eventually, which is another reason I didn't entirely watch that much, because, yeah, we were doing the podcast by the time this started, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. I've been sort of more hands-off since then. It's like, well, we'll get to it eventually. Like I said at the beginning of the season, it's like, it feels like it's aimed at, like, a younger-than-normal Transformers series audience. Like, slightly above Rescue Bots.
But I don't know, I mean, Rescue Bots was definitely more memorable than this.
Yes! Rescue Bots is one I skip because, oh, this is the one for the babies. Fine. I'm not the target audience. It's not for me. Then we get to it. Oh my god, it's so fun. And then we get to Cyberverse, which is like, oh, it's closer to a mainline. Well, it was the equivalent of mainline because there was no other show other than Rescue Bots Academy at the same time. And it's not good. It's just, it's weird. Like, outside of our issues with some of the Japanese shows, which we haven't watched a lot of, like, at least the Unicron trilogy was generally okay. This, I can't really say that. It's
not as phoned in as Headmasters.
Ooh. Headmasters is
really phoned in.
From what I've seen, more shit. Like, that's the bad one of the Japanese series.
I'm telling you, there was that episode where the Autobots were seriously discussing just letting Sixshot kill Wheelie, and I got it. I understood. He's holding him hostage, and like saying, "Oh, turn over your like special secrets, or I'm gonna kill him." And the Autobots were like, "I mean, we don't want him to have our special secrets."
Yeah, it's just so many things about Cyberverse to seem like it's holding it back or hurting it. Because the basic premise is sort of G1 again. A couple Autobots on Earth trying to get to the Ark. Fine, that's an okay premise. But, like, the runtime holds it back so much because we don't have time for a B-plot. So when we do have a good episode and it's over too early, it's like, well, shit, I wish there was more. Or if it's not a great episode, it's like, well, at least it's over already. But it also holds it back because, okay, we cut out humans altogether to speed up time. And despite what people used to say, I never liked it. It's like, oh, we need to get humans out of Transformers. That only works in two instances so far.
I liked our human friends.
Yes, like, Rescue Bots, fucking love those guys. Most of the humans, the kids, it's fine. It's
yeah.
Not that it's an audience substitute, but it is an easier way to get action and drama from the human perspective to understand the Transformers more.
Yeah, and they just didn't have time to deal with any of that. It was just, here you go.
So here, instead, we have Bumblebee in the same spot. Bumblebee is the surrogate human.
Yes.
Yes.
Because he's got amnesia.
And then he needs everything explained to him. And he's an idiot.
He's so dumb. He doesn't get much smarter either.
It's just... Like, there have been moments in the season that I kind of liked, and some ideas were cool. But it's just held back by the show itself. How many more seasons of this, too?
Three, and sort of a fourth season that's a couple movies.
Yes.
All right, the movie.
So.
Well, we'll get to that eventually.
Yeah, there's another 18-episode second season. Then the third season is 26 episodes.
Yes.
Oh, no.
And then there are two movies for the fourth season.
The third season has kind of... I mean, there's kind of an arc that... goes between the end of the second season and a big chunk of the third season.
Yeah, I think we're going through, like...
which is pretty interesting.
Like, we're going through, like, space in that third season?
There is a chunk... I think in the second season there's a bunch where they're going through space and there's some interesting Titan stuff.
What was the episode? Was it a Cosmos or something episode I watched?
Because, yeah, it just stops being about Bumblebee and Windblade for a while. So that's nice. Because none of that stuff was great.
No, it was not.
No.
Looking at the wiki, just at the episode titles, I'm afraid. There's an episode titled Dark Birth. Two episodes later, Starscream's children.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
That probably has nothing to do with anything, but...
Oh, it does.
I'm afraid.
It does
have
something to do with something, and you should be afraid.
Oh, no.
I remember that now. I had forgotten about that.
Get ready for Starscream and Preg, I guess.
Things get kind of weird. Yeah.
Remember, Mpreg is canon now.
Thanks, James Roberts.
Yes. Oh, God. Did you guys see the tweet that, like, somebody was talking about, like, is there sex or kink in Transformers or something? And somebody directed this guy. This James Roberts TF Wiki page.
I don't think there's, like... I don't think he gives birth to them, but he creates some thing. Something. I'm not gonna spoil too much of that. Also, the third season is where the thing happens that I will not speak of.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Until we get to it, and then I will be very angry. Prepare for that. Prepare for a rant. Prepare for a lot of feelings.
Oh, dear.
Where was... I remember seeing an episode with some character on a planet. Was it Cosmos or something?
There is some stuff with Cosmos that's not really related to anything. Also, there's a cute episode where there's a bunch of repugnances.
Aww. Oh, yeah, I have those toys.
Yeah, they're the toys that came
from
that.
They're adorable.
They are. They're really cute. They're unreasonably cute. So yeah, there's some definitely it gets more interesting in the later seasons. This season they just sort of had, I guess, an edict from corporate to focus on Bumblebee, so they did their best. Hmm. An attempt was made.
All right, so that does it for us for this edition of the Cyberverse podcast, but of course, as per usual, we're moving on in our between seasons. We'll be moving on to a different show. We will move on to Rescue Bots Academy and Alternate.
Fun.
And I've not seen a second of that, so we will see how that goes.
Yeah, I have not seen any of Rescue Bots Academy, so that's going to be interesting.
Mm. But, of course, between seasons of shows, we always do something a little off the wall. And this time, well, with Kraven the Hunter, Kraven into theaters this December, we're going back to the 80s for Kraven's appearance on Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends.
Yay! So amazing. Such friends.
So, so of course, join
dinosaurs. It's written by Donald Glut.
It's got somebody's got the hots for Kraven the Hunter.
Yes,
Don Glut.
If someone else has the hots for Kraven the Hunter, he's not admitting it to himself or anyone else at this stage in his character development.
And of course, you can find us all. Until then, you can find us all over the internet. We are on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We are on Mastodon and Blue Sky, and we have a Patreon.
Yes, we are hosted on iaconunderground.net, where we have a Patreon set up for hosting and other expenses. Also, David and I are more or less, at this point, we're doing the news podcast about monthly, because my life is a disaster. I'm in the middle of moving. Basically, so it's been a little hard to work it into the schedule, but hopefully once things settle back down in about a month and a half, we will be back to a more regular schedule. But we do have that Patreon set up. It is at patreon.com/iaconunderground. For as little as a dollar a month, you can listen to our special episodes that we do every month on something fun, something seasonal sometimes something that ties in with a movie, or sometimes it is just the movie. So for this month, we are just about getting ready to record an episode on Deadpool and Wolverine, which we did a tie-in episode earlier in the year where we watched that episode of that Spider-Man
Ultimate Spider-Man. Spoilers, which, the movie was better.
Yeah, the yes. movie was a lot better. That episode was not great. And also it made me extremely angry to learn that one of my least favorite Gen Z online phrases came from that. So, yep. Bonus points.
Yes.
I guess negative bonus demerits there.
Yes.
Or they may not have invented it, but it definitely popularized it.
Mm-hmm.
It does seem to have possibly established it in that context. Mm. But yeah, you can go back and listen to that episode, or you can listen to the episode we're going to do now on the actual movie itself. And then we'll probably have something fun for December, for Christmas, and whatever. We need to find, I don't know, are there like Hanukkah specials?
I mean, there's that Adam Sandler movie, Eight Crazy Nights.
But that's a bad movie.
Mm.
And also it's like feature length.
I would love to suggest stuff like A Muppet Family Christmas, except you can only find that properly on YouTube from people's VHS uploads. And also the ending, I was not prepared for the ending when I was watching it on an overnight shift on Christmas Eve at work.
Yeah, why the hell isn't that one on Disney?
Because then Jim Henson shows up at the end to see how happy everyone is. And I was just like, oh no!
It's the ownership, because Disney owns the Muppets, but they don't own Fraggle Rock. And they don't own, what is it, the Sesame Street characters? They don't own them either.
Sesame Street's in it too, yeah. So and also, there's apparently, even for like the contemporary VHS releases, there are, of course, my personal favorite thing, music rights.
Oh.
Because there is a Fozzie Bear song that is, you know, an actual song.
And
they couldn't get the rights to the home release for it. But a few people have uploaded VHS rips on YouTube. We're not going to watch that, though, because it's way too sincere. And we can't do things that are that sincere.
Yeah.
But I
recommend everyone watch it.
And of course, as has become traditional for our Christmas episodes, I will also be tormenting my colleagues here with a Christmas quiz.
Oh no. Oh no. Is it about Lacey Chabert?
No, that was last year.
I think we really exhausted most of the Lacey Chabert material.
Yeah, she's probably made a few more.
You know what we should
enough.
Watch?
What?
You know what we should watch is that Hot Frosty movie.
Oh wow, she is in that.
What? Oh.
She is in that. The like sexy Frosty movie on Netflix that people have been being appalled by. Appalled and probably more turned on than they want to admit.
Oh, hey, it's also got Lauren Holly.
Oh, who is that again?
She used to be married to Jim Carrey. She's the lady in Dumb and Dumber.
Ah, okay. Ooh. So not a Transformers voice actress.
No, she's some. No, I'm afraid that is it for people who've been on Transformers in this.
Just Lacey Chabert.
Yeah, in fact, and well, because it was not filmed in Vancouver or Toronto, places that have had Transformers cartoons recorded there. Shot in Ottawa.
True, true. I see. So we will have something fun, but it's also going to be a lot of fun to talk about Deadpool and Wolverine.
Yes.
Do you have a dragon? Anyway. All right.
So until next time, I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And I'm David.
Court. All right. So everything seems to be doing okay. I confirmed ahead of time that my GarageBand was actually recognizing my microphone this time, which it's been having trouble with lately.
Very important. Yeah, my squiggles are indeed a squiggling as well.
Let's get this over with so we can watch Cat Women on the Moon.
Ooh, right. Exciting.
Hello.
I'm just going to be sitting here fidgeting with my knife. Sorry.